Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold, SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome to The Drive. I am Dale Lally. He is Matt Williamson. And, well, this is our daily show here in the afternoon. If you haven't heard us here before, well, welcome. Yeah. We appreciate you dropping by. And as I'd like to do every once in a while here, Matt, let's explain a little bit about the show.
Okay.
So my partner here is Matt Williamson. Matt's a former scout with the Cleveland Browns, worked for ESPN.com, does some work now for Steelers.com and a number of different
all sorts other of different
outlets.
Avenues,
but,
right?
We've been doing this show now for what? Is this our fifth season together,
That's
Matt?
That's an excellent question. I would say, give or take,
somewhere
one
in that,
or another.
Yeah, somewhere in that range, something along those lines. As for myself, I've been covering the Steelers since 1993 on a regular basis. I used to do it for the Observer Reporter in Washington, PA. Now I do it for DK Pittsburgh Sports, but also do some stuff for Steelers.com as well. And this is our show, and we like to talk Steelers stuff. We go all over the league as well. So if you want to hear the best Steelers talk along with other things going around in the league or going on across the league, this is your stop. This is the place to listen, and we appreciate you giving us a shot here to do so.
No doubt. Spread the word.
Spread the word. Let people know. Yeah, absolutely. Tuesday, Steelers off today, with the day off. They also have to have their cuts in by 4 p.m. today. We are taping this at 3:30, so we
don't quite know that yet,
but it's only going to be five guys. I don't expect anybody of note
I'd be shocked.
To be released
right,
here.
Right.
But one guy of note was released elsewhere in the league today, Matt. The Broncos have released Joe Schobert.
Did they?
He was a late signing in their camp.
Yeah, yeah.
Which doesn't usually bode well, but he was
I
one of their cuts
he'd
today.
Still be sticking around. Do you have any interest? I don't. I think I've seen that play before. You know, I mean, he wasn't horrible here, and I thought he'd kind of kickstart things more than he did. But he was a free agent for a while before Denver went after him, and any team could have got him. And now he can't even make the Broncos. They're not exactly loaded on the second level either. I think that ship sailed.
Yeah, it might be that he's just done. Or
right.
I could see some team that has an injury to a starter.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they have a guy behind their starters who's not quite ready to play.
You bring in
a guy like Schobert to kind of get you through that rough stretch.
Yeah, I could see that. I'm not sure if this is the case, but there will be a linebacker or two that is cut that said team, usually not a contender, has a third-round rookie or a fourth-round second-year
guy. Kind of like Miles Jack became free.
A little bit,
they went out and signed a bunch. You know, they drafted a couple guys. They signed the guy from Atlanta, and they said, okay, Jack's making too much money.
Mm-hmm.
We want to clear this clear the way.
Allocate it differently. Yeah, and there could be a veteran that's a little on the expensive side that's kind of in the path of the youngster that they like, and they want to get him out of the way. So, I mean, someone like that might become available. I'm sure people are anxious to add another linebacker to the mix here in Pittsburgh. I wouldn't get your hopes up too much.
I'd be more interested in adding an outside linebacker.
I would too.
Yeah.
It's a lot harder to scheme. You always want two edge guys.
Yeah.
I could put a lot of different form stuff out there with only one off-the-ball guy.
I still believe that if push came to shove and something happened at inside linebacker, the Steelers could still move Gennard Avery in there.
Yes. I think that's an excellent point. I also don't know that Bush is the worst player on the planet either.
No.
Contrary to popular belief, you know, right.
I get a lot of that pushback on in comments on stuff that I write, like, why are you defending this guy or why are you defending that guy? I often go into these things not intending on defending anybody.
Right. This is what I think.
Yeah. But I also see the complete vitriol where, you know, this guy's the worst. This is the worst offensive line in the league. This is he's the worst inside linebacker.
Cut that guy's all, the
worst.
Him, right.
Cut them, fire him. He's the worst coach. That guy's the worst this, the worst that. Watch some other teams around the league.
Right. And
then tell me that this is the worst or that's the worst.
And to pat ourselves on the back a little bit here, you know, you opened this segment by kind of giving everyone a feel for what we're about. I think more so than, honestly, anyone really in Pittsburgh media, and I'm not, I have a lot of friends in Pittsburgh media, I'm not cutting on them, but we can tell you where the Steelers stand compared to the other 31.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think that's one of our best strengths is, hey, yeah, you think it's bad, but there's 10 other teams that are worse, or, you know.
Yeah, I was listening to something today, and they were talking about the Chicago Bears and their offensive line. They said, and this is from a national show, that might be the worst. Like, this is arguably the worst offensive line in the league.
Yeah, it arguably is.
And, I mean, there's five or six of them out there who, believe it or not, folks, are as bad as or maybe even worse than the situation the Steelers currently have.
Yeah, and there's less hope, too, you know, just in terms of the O-line. Like, I don't know if this is ever going to be an average offensive line this year. I don't think it will be. But I also think that what we saw on Saturday will probably be the worst tape we see of them all year, too.
Yeah.
You know, that there is, you know, there's some players that'll get better, you know.
But, yeah.
And the other thing is, come week 10, after injuries have set in across the league, too, there'll be a lot of lines that are really at the bottom of the league.
I had that discussion with somebody on a message board, and they, well, the Bengals went out and they fixed their line. I'm like, do we know that?
That's funny you brought that up.
Do we know that the line's fixed? Because Lael Collins still hasn't played yet in this preseason.
Right. And we're talking about Karras like he's Webby.
Right.
Right. You know, like,
I don't know he's that he's better than Mason Cole.
Right. He's better than what they had. He's played some guard and center, but he's kind of a journeyman.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that he's a top 20 center in the league. I mean, he's a professional starter. There's something to be said for that.
And they spent a lot of money, but I don't know if they fixed their offensive line.
Right. And Alex Kappa was their first signing. Again, he's a good guard. I don't think the Bucs even know he's gone. You know what I mean?
And they've had injuries.
Right. You know what I mean? Like, he was their worst lineman last year or second worst in Tampa. He's a good player. That was a really good line, and they could use him because of their injuries. But, I mean, he's not John Hanna.
Right. Speaking of offensive lines, the Ravens still have an issue at left tackle. Mm. Ronnie Stanley has still not practiced, and it's not looking good.
I haven't heard anything good about him or Dobbins or Edmonds.
Yeah. If Ronnie Stanley isn't back for the Ravens, does that change your outlook for them on this season?
I'll be honest. I've planned all along going Ravens, Bengals, Steelers, Browns in the division with the Watson news or even the six games. I've soured on the other three teams a little more lately than I did a month or two ago. I'm not saying the Steelers are going to win the division, folks. That's not what I'm here to tell you. I just think that there's more and more questions about the division than I expected on August 23rd.
Yeah, I don't know that the division is as difficult or as good as everybody thought in the offseason. Like, oh, yeah, the Ravens look like they're really going to be back this year. And the Bengals are the defending AFC championship, you know, and the Browns, look out for the Browns. Well,
yeah. I mean, like,
they've
I
all
think
taken some major hits.
Like, the Bills and Chiefs are at a different level than any of the North teams to me. You know, it doesn't mean the Ravens can't win the Super Bowl, but there's more questions. And part of it's the Bengals, too, is a lot of their production came in a couple games offensively. It's a really good offense, don't get me wrong. But the other thing is teams started playing Burrow a lot differently. I just saw this morning. Is he saw a ton of single high safety. And what he did every time he saw it, he threw a bomb to Chase.
Yeah.
He threw a bomb to Chase. All right. And then as the last month or so of the...
Hey, guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all. But here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs,
Yeah, like check out these hair. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean.
Yeah. But I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Season, people said, we're not letting you do that. Or the run after the catch stuff with Chase. And you had to be patient and check it down. The offense wasn't as good, you know.
Yeah,
you know, there's.
That's what you're going to do. You're going to see more cover two shells, and
right. Okay, Allen and Mahomes have adjusted to that.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
That's just the way the league goes.
But you saw those adjustment times with Mahomes last year. Everybody thought, oh, Mahomes has figured it out. Look, he's not putting up the numbers that he did. Mm-hmm. And it took him a few games, but he figured it out.
Yeah,
because he's an extreme talent.
Yeah. Right. And I'm sure Burrow's going to be just fine. I'd love to have him. I'm not cutting on him. I just have a little more questions, and some of it's also. Is the O-line great all of a sudden? Like, it's okay. You know, it's better.
But part of the problem was him holding the football.
Right. I don't think
looking
that will
for those big plays.
Right. I 100% agree.
But the Ronnie Stanley news to me.
Stanley's so big, right.
I mean, they don't have an answer at left tackle if he's not back.
No one does.
You know what I mean?
I mean, it goes back to our point about bad O-line.
But I don't even think that they have a left. They don't even have a right tackle that you'd say, okay, we'll just move him over to the left side and be fine. Yeah.
McCarrie can play right. Moses will probably be the right. And then they drafted the giant out of Minnesota.
The slug.
Yeah. And none of them are left tackles. You know, yeah. Right. So he's like, Lamar aside, or quarterbacks aside, I think he's Stanley's as pivotal a player as there is, not even on the Ravens, but in the whole division.
Yeah.
And it's not looking good for them with that.
It really isn't. It's a shame because, you know, when he was healthy, he was one of the top left tackles in the game.
And the timing's so bad with the contract.
They signed him
too,
that new contract the week they played the Steelers, and he broke that ankle.
And he hasn't been the same since.
And hasn't played since.
Hasn't played, right.
Yeah.
Hasn't been able to.
That's been a couple of years now.
It's a terrible investment. You feel bad for the player. But they were counting on him this year. I mean, who knows what it's going to look like and what he's going to play like when he does see the field. You know, I mean, that's going to be a problem for them. I'm not sure if Linderbaum's even back yet either.
I think he's back, okay. But that's he's playing through that injury.
Yeah.
And that can't be a good thing either. So they've got an undersized center on a bad wheel and no left tackle.
Yeah. And that line to me looked much improved, you know, with all the Moses is a starting right tackle and Stanley was going to be back and Linderbaum is like, oh, this is going to be a good line. Might be two holes already.
Yeah, that's not a good sign for them. So we'll see. I mean, that's why, you know, everything looks great in the offseason. You say it all the time that everybody looks their best in the spring.
The day the draft ends until you start playing football, it's all roses. Everyone's going to come back from injury. All your rookies are going to get better in their second year. Your first-round pick's going to be a star because they always are, right?
Yeah.
You know, nothing ever is going to go bad.
Well, but the other thing for the Ravens right now is they're getting the guys in the secondary back, which is a good thing.
That's big.
Marcus Peters started practicing this week as well. But the running backs still haven't.
No. I think
Dobbins and Edwards are still. So they're going to be relying on Mike Davis.
He might be the opening day starter at running back. Because Ed, I know Gus the Bus will not be ready.
Yeah.
I think Dobbins is questionable.
Yeah, that's just not a good, great sign for that offense. And, of course, Lamar's coming back. Now, Lamar's looked good in the preseason.
Mm-hmm.
But he's coming back off of an injury.
Right. And
these
much
are things that happen. I saw something the other day, Matt. I didn't mean to cut you off there.
No, that's cool.
There's something along the lines. He's taken like 750 hits already in his career.
Lamar?
Yeah.
It's a remarkable number.
For a quarterback.
Right. He's not the biggest guy in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, even if it was Allen, I would be like, boy, that's too many, of course.
Yeah.
The other thing, too, is much like the Bengal discussion, and all teams face these things, but the Ravens are facing it more than anyone, is there was a formula of how to beat the Ravens.
Yeah.
You know, Flores was a big part of that, but blitz these guys like crazy. Even play cover zero behind it. I mean, have no safety help, and they had no answer for it. So they need to. They're going to see that like crazy early in the season until they prove teams differently. We'll see. You know.
Yeah. Well, and the Steelers have done a really good job on Lamar as well.
Yep.
They've won the last four games against the Ravens.
Yeah, people forget that.
Yeah, people forget that stuff. And Lamar, the only time Lamar has beaten the Steelers, well, it was a game Mason Rudolph started.
Okay.
And Duck Hodges finished.
And Duck Hodges finished.
And that went to overtime. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
Like, they've done a pretty good job on him. Wouldn't surprise me this year. I know that, in some of those previous games, at least the last two times that they faced Lamar, they've gone with the three outside linebacker look.
Yes.
That three safety look with KZ on the field could certainly be a part of that this year.
Yep. I think that's smart. It's funny you said that because you brought up Avery a minute ago, too, and said his versatility to play inside. It wouldn't blow me away. I was just thinking about this today because I'm thinking about writing an article about it, of different personnel groupings they could use to get Bush off the field. And I'm making it sound like he's terrible. He's not. We already talked about that. But, it wouldn't blow me away if you saw three outside linebackers here and there, because Watts walked around behind the line of scrimmage as well. Avery has plenty. I think three safeties is going to become, I don't want to say the norm, but regular.
They'll use that. I hate to put a number on, but it wouldn't surprise me if we see it 10% of the time.
I would even maybe go higher.
Maybe go higher than that, when you include the nickel and dime stuff in there, obviously.
Right. Well, yeah.
I'm just saying, in a true base, like in their 3-4,
yes,
one of those guys, or three of those guys are safeties.
Yes, a big nickel as your base.
Yeah.
I think could be pretty common or not uncommon. The Steelers played a lot of base last year, and there's a couple reasons for it. First of all, they played Baltimore twice, and they played Cleveland twice.
Yeah.
Those teams play heavy personnel. So they were in their, when I say base, I'm talking about their old school 3-4, a nose, two defensive other linemen, two edges, and two linebackers.
And I honestly think teams wanted them to stay in that a little bit too.
That's
last year.
That's the next thing I was going to say.
We're always on the same wavelength.
Once Tua and Alualu weren't in the picture, well, who do you want on the field? You want Mondo and Davis and, all those dudes. Warmly held up fine, but you don't want them playing that much. So keep the Steelers in heavy personnel, bring in extra tight ends, fullbacks, whatnot. So, not only did that give you your best chance play by play, but then also wore those guys down over the course of a game and a year. You really attacked their depth over 17 games, and it showed. The run defense was bad.
Yeah, it was, and that was one of the things that we really didn't talk about yesterday, Matt. We touched on the run defense a little bit when we were talking about the game in Jacksonville, but we got our first look at Tyson Alualu. Well, we've seen them at the training camp.
But
Tyson Alualu and Larry Ogunjobi on the field together. Obviously, Hayward didn't play because of the ankle injury. But I thought those two held up pretty well.
Yes.
And once you get Hayward into that mix as well, I think that's a pretty formidable front.
I do, too. And I love the depth because, Liao is flashing now.
Yeah.
Warmly now is not a 2. He's a 4. Great. Loudermilk I'm still very high on. Do you have any idea why he didn't play many snaps? He only played like 5 or 6 snaps in that game.
I think they're trying to figure out some of those other spots a little bit more. I think they feel pretty confident with him. And there's
a couple young guys like him and McFarland that I think they are happy with, and just why play him more now?
Yeah, you want to get a look at some of those other guys who are fighting for those spots. And I think that was a big reason for that.
And I think you want to get the starters a couple reps, too. And there's only so many reps to go around.
Right.
You know what I mean? So why not save the guy that you're happy with?
Speaking of which, Mike Tomlin did say, this came from Dan Campbell, told the Detroit media that he'd spoken to Tomlin this week, and that Tomlin intends on playing the starters the first half of the game.
Really? Right. Okay, because I had heard the Lions were intent on playing their top guys, which shocked me they didn't.
And that might surprise people that the coaches talk like that.
Yeah, I was a little shocked by that, to be honest with you.
But they do. I mean, I think they, especially if you know the guy. And I think Tomlin and Dan Campbell have a little bit of a relationship. I think Tomlin respects Campbell in terms of the way his coaching style, and he, because I, talking to him, before, he's like, people look at Dan Campbell and say, he's a maniac. He's like, that's who he is.
Right. I don't know if you've watched any Hard Knocks.
I've not yet. That's on my to-do list.
Okay. There's two of them, I think, in the books, and maybe there's another one tonight. He's very likable. I'll be honest. I thought he was big musclehead, tight end, meathead, chew knee guy. What he's doing is very real, and I think that's one of the mistakes coaches make the most is try to be someone you're not.
Absolutely,
That's a Belichick especially disciple you come out thing, of
the,
or,
same thing with Lombardi and all the great coaches. Those assistants go somewhere else, and they try to be
Might as well be Vince.
Yeah,
it's
got to be Vince. Right. It works for Vince or it works for Bill, so I'll do that.
Professional and men see right through
they
that.
They see right through it. Yeah. If you're not a hard, you know, tough guy, don't try to be that. Mm-hmm. If you're not a disciplinarian, don't try to be that.
Right.
You're not going to do it like that guy because, you know, they just, you got to be yourself. That's what Chuck Knoll did.
Yeah.
You know, coming over. He obviously, he
could have been Shula.
Right. You know, yeah. Right. You know, any of the other coaches, you know, Paul Brown,
right.
You know, but he didn't. He just was himself.
Mm-hmm. But when you watch it, I think you'll have a new respect for Campbell. That is who he is, but he's not just a meathead run-through-the-wall type coaches. Yeah. I've been around coaches that their only answer is work harder. He's a pretty smart guy with a bright future.
Yeah, one of the other things that he's done is get a coaching staff that's loaded,
so many former
loaded
players.
With former players. Yeah,
right. And I guess there's a Steeler overlap there, too.
Yeah, Antoine Randall is the receivers coach. Deuce Staley's the running back coach /
Yes, and he's really vocal and prevalent in this one. And Hank Fraley's their O-line coach.
Right.
Yeah, so I mean, there's tons of former players, but they have a fun staff. It's going to be a good test for the Steelers. So
absolutely.
You do think the Steelers will play their guys then.
That's what Dan Campbell told the Detroit media. So
okay.
We'll believe Dan Campbell until Mike Tomlin knows otherwise.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting approach, and I wonder if maybe the opponent a little bit has something to do with that because they're going to do it, but also –
it's a good opportunity to get a real good look.
And I think where the Steelers' offense is at right now, in terms of especially the line, you want to get a good look at it. You want to give Mitch Trubisky a more of a chance to go out there. He's thrown 15 passes in the preseason.
Yeah. And even
that's just not enough.
Hasn't played a ton. Yeah. Or, you know, we initially thought this might be a, even maybe not start to finish, but heavy, heavy picket game.
Yeah.
It still might, but I wouldn't mind seeing Mitch out there for a quarter. Or
I think they're gonna if they give him the entire first half, it gives him an opportunity to run a 2-minute drill.
Right, he's been good in that in practice, but
yeah,
not,
but
that
hasn't gotten
the
opportunity to do it in the game.
And then
you let Pickett finish up the second half. You let him play the entire second half. I think you've seen enough of Mason Rudolph now to feel pretty comfortable that he's taken a pretty big step forward this year.
Yes, I mean if you're playing him, sure you want him to get better. But I think if you're playing Mason at this point, that just means you don't want the other guys on the field for safety reasons.
Yeah.
You know, like there's 10 Steelers I could probably name that I feel like their grade isn't going to change.
Yeah.
You know, they're not really ascending or descending all that much. You know, I've said that about like LeGlue or Haig. Haig didn't play much in this game.
Haig,
I know
he had
Joe
a concussion.
Haig is. Did he? I didn't know that. Okay. I mean, but they know who he is. I mean, there's a couple guys. I know who that guy is, even if he's a depth player. I don't need a ton of reps from him right now.
Yeah.
I think Mason qualifies that way.
I do as well, and you know, we talked enough about that yesterday. We won't run over that again. But I do think this is a nice test here at home.
I think it'll be a real good test if they play their ones.
Yeah, against a team that you know, maybe you see some Cam Hayward out there this week because he didn't play last week, and you got a couple of weeks in between now and the start of the regular season that if something were to happen. There's
a little more time, right?
There's enough time for somebody to heal up from a minor injury. Mm-hmm. And B, if it's a major injury, there's still enough time between now and the start of the season to make a move if it presents itself.
Cuts are going to come around.
Yeah.
You can make a trade. You know, right. And I wouldn't play Cam and Najee a ton.
Not a ton,
get me wrong,
yeah.
But maybe a series or whatever. I have no problem with that. I would hope I'm queuing up for things of what to look for in this game. I've been doing something like that every week. I would hope the Steeler O-line does a better job against this front. Aiden Hutchinson's very impressive. They have some dudes that are okay, but the Jag front is better.
Yeah.
And the opposite's true, though, in the other way. I mean, I think
their offensive line is
nasty.
One of the top five offensive lines in the league.
And especially if Cam's out there, I would love to see them stalemate the Lions in the run game.
Yeah.
Because they can do a lot of damage on the ground.
Yeah. I mean, they showed it last year against the Steelers, although some of that was, it's 3rd and 16. We don't care. We're going to run it anyways.
They're
in the
running every play because
they
knew it was going to be first one to 15 wins or whatever.
Right,
you know?
In that kind of weather. We're going to take a break.
He is
Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio, talking a little bit about the league here, a little bit about the Steelers. When we come back, Pete Prisco has put together his top 100 list on CBS.com. I have a lot of respect for Pete.
I like his 100 better than the NFL.com one.
Yeah, I think I will too. And I've known Pete for a number of years, and I know he does a pretty good job of looking beyond the hype on some players.
Yeah.
And diving a little bit more into what his true feelings on these guys. So we'll do that when we come back. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit Lisa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.